On this episode of The Playbook, I have Nicole Arbour, comedian and entrepreneur. That's right, combination of an entrepreneur and entertainer all in one. And we talk about how people crave honesty. But unfortunately, the number one issue is that all people are full of, that's right. Anyway, join me for all of this and more on The Playbook.
This is Entrepreneurs The Playbook, where each week I bring you some of the greatest athletes, celebrities, and entrepreneurs to talk about their personal and professional playbook to success and what made them champions on the field and in the boardroom. I'm your host and CEO of Sports One Marketing, David Meltzer.
This is Dave Meltzer with Entrepreneurs The Playbook, and I'm so excited because I have the very first entrepreneur ever to be on The Playbook. Nicole Arbour, the insanely talented woman.
Thanks.
You came in here after driving 2 hours from Los Angeles and lit up my entire office with your energy and light. And there's no doubt in my mind after meeting you in person that, like, first of all, the internet doesn't do you justice. TV doesn't do you justice.
Keep going.
Live, this woman rocks it.
Thanks, sir.
But you haven't just lived this perfect Canadian existence.
No.
You've had a few challenges in your life, and I've read through some of them, but I want to talk through that because as an entrepreneur and an entrepreneur, everyone faces those challenges. Yep. I've done it myself and to the lowest depths. It seems like you had a pretty normal life until you had an accident.
Yeah. It was normalish as it could be.
Yeah, everyone's, you know,
yeah, we're living our life, we're doing the things.
Normal dysfunction. You had normal dysfunction in your life.
Yeah, regular dysfunction.
Dance, cheerleading,
Raptors cheerleader, doing the things on the TV and all the stuff. And then car accident in 2008, which I know gives me a very different angle on the rest of my life. And I'm realizing that more now than I even knew before because I spent the better part of 10 years, most of my 20s, in bed, on disability, told I'm not going to get better.
So you had a car accident, and I was a train wreck. 2008.
Jealous.
We had so much in common.
Yeah, yeah, synergy right there.
Now, you know, sitting there, physical disability and pain is an awful thing.
Yep.
And yet you kind of were, it seemed like almost in denial that you could ever recover.
I was told I couldn't recover. And after, you know, getting into like year seven when they're telling you you're not going to get better and you're not getting better, you're actually getting worse because all my conditions were degenerative. Nerve damage gets worse. Yeah. TMJ was so bad, I would like bite and clench and wake up without teeth. Like I would crack them in my mouth and wake up. I swallowed them. Like pretty stuff. Yay, I'm a hot girl. Just like the worst things you could imagine, my body went through most of them. On top of that, crippling, you know, depression, which just added to it because I was not anything I had known myself to be, a dancer. And I was an entrepreneur back then too, but I was a choreographer. I was professional cheerleader. I was a comedian. I couldn't do any of the things that I was. And now I was in bed and told I'm not going to get better. And I didn't even have the same friends anymore. Like, you find out who your friends are because they don't stick around during the bad
times.
Try
losing all your money. It's worse than getting sick.
I'll believe you on that. You do that. I'll stick on the disability thing.
Nice.
So but yeah, I went through all of it.
How do you turn around? Like, it's obvious how people like me, when I lost everything, how you turn around when you lose your money.
Yeah.
Right? It's obvious, right? You get focused and you start making money.
Yep.
But it's totally different when you have all of that shitstorm upon you, this perfect shitstorm that puts your mental, emotional, physical state out of the realm. You can't even say, oh, I'll just, it's like telling someone that's literally suicidal, just look at the glasses half full. And you're like, I'm on pain.
I'm going to take this glass and smash it on your fucking head.
Exactly.
That's how you feel when you're in physical pain.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So how did you turn that around when everyone's saying you can't?
I've told people this before, but I literally, when I got my lifelong disability certificate, I heard Denzel Washington in my head, and he was like, it's not time to give up. It's time to get up. That was the worst Denzel ever. I apologize
so good,
to everyone's
though.
Earballs.
I read that.
Yeah.
And but I had to do it because I had one day of depression, so don't feel sorry for me. I lost everything. Mm-hmm. But 2 years earlier, I had gone through a transformation. My wife slapped me in the face, basically, because I was such an idiot and said, I'm leaving unless you straighten your shit out. take stock in who you are. And but I did have one day of depression because I realized that I had lost over $100 million. I had to go tell my boss.
That's a lot.
Exactly. Okay. I had to go tell my boss, who literally hired me because I was Midas, you know, to run a big sports agency and teach sports guys not to lose their money. But worse, I lost my mom's house, which was the only reason I wanted to be rich when I was a little boy, to buy my mom a house and a car. I had forgot to take it out of my own name. And so not only was it the disappointment of me having to tell her that hopefully her favorite son out of six was bankrupt, but I was a moron and lost her house. I spent the one day of depression. But I looked, this will be your Denzel moment. The universe brought it to me. Rocky One came on, which is absolutely one of my favorite movies. Right?
Hey.
And now they have the Super Bowl commercial with Rocky. I almost went crazy with Chris Rock.
That's so good.
The Facebook one, right?
Yeah.
And I'm lying there in tears, feeling sorry for myself. Maybe for the first time in my life, feeling sorry for myself.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what am I going to do? I'm doing everything right again. Like, it's been 2 years of transformation, you know, cleaning up everything. And here I still ended up in a shit storm financially. And he came on, and he's getting his ass kicked by
Russian.
Apollo. No, it was Apollo in the first one.
Okay. Yeah.
And you remember it was like overdone because it was 70s.
Yeah.
And he's like flipping around down to the ground, and he'd get back up.
Yeah, it's
and
like Instagram
literally,
acting.
He's like lying there on the eighth time he's knocked down, and he literally in my head, I'm like, oh my God, if I can look up, I can get up.
Yeah.
So I was lying down, right?
Yeah.
And I went Rocky in my head. Boom, 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 boom. And I'm like, if he's getting his, I'm like, so Rocky. And then I heard these great Rocky stories from a kid I was mentoring about how he made the movie, which really is inspiring for another day.
I know that story.
Once you hear this soul, I know what it felt like to feel that voice.
Yep.
As bad as our imitations are. How do you take action from it? Because that was the next step. Right.
Get real mad.
Who'd you get mad at, or what'd you get mad
myself,
at?
Myself, the universe, my body, the circumstance, the fact that I listened to doctors in the first place. Any doctor who tells you can't get better, fire them, get a better one.
Right.
Imagine a coach told you can't get in shape, you'd fire them. Someone said you can't get out of financial difficulties, fire them. It just means they don't know how to do it. And I was just so mad at myself for wasting so much time that I just got pissed off. And I was so pissed off that I took myself to the bookstore. I bought a Louise Hay book. Doesn't sound like I'm pissed off to buy Louise Hay, but I had never done that in my life. I stuck sticky notes all over my whole house that said, you're getting better. You look amazing. You're stronger every day. Like everywhere I could look. Everywhere. I look like a psycho.
Bob Proctor fan from Canada at the same time?
No, I wasn't. No, I learned that after.
They published my first book.
Yay.
Yeah. So total connected to goodness.
Nice.
About manifesting everything you desire in life and business.
I didn't know what it was.
Through that visualization.
Yeah.
Now you surround yourself with all these positive thoughts.
Yep.
What physical things did you do to transform and to activate the genetics that you wanted in your life?
Well, I kept in my mind that my body regenerates itself. Every single cell does flip over.
Yeah.
So just because you were disabled 7 years ago doesn't mean you have to be disabled today.
Yeah, you are making yourself more disabled, in fact, because every 3 years, every cell has regenerated itself. So you're a new person physically every 3 years.
It's weird. I hate that doctors don't tell you that stuff, but I started doing nerve block injections, which I believe saved my life. Do you know about nerve blocks?
Yeah, of course.
With athletes and stuff too. Those of you who don't know, you get a giant needle usually from Japan. They stick it into your nerves, and it's the same stuff you get at the dentist to freeze your mouth. And it lasts for about 3 months-ish, but long enough for me to start moving my body in other ways. And I was just ready for the physical pain. I did the physio. I did the nerve blocks. I tried the tapping. I did everything I could. It fucking hurt. Yeah. Like, there wasn't a single day that I wasn't physically shaking so bad that I had to use weed. Like, I got prescribed, and then if I didn't smoke a little bit, I'd be shaking like I had Parkinson's.
Yeah.
So I just gave in to the process. I'm like, this is what it is. Nicole, are you going to go through this or not? Are you an X-Men or are you not? And then I just did it. And every day that I had a bad day, I'm like, I'll have one bad day, but I'm going to have another good day in a couple days. And
right.
I have three bad days. I'm like, I'm going to have a good day coming. And I started climbing that ladder bit by bit. And then I made a video on the internet.
Yeah. And things really started to change.
Yeah.
And physically, though, things really started to change as well.
They sure did.
I call it acceleration and exponential growth, right?
Like, mm-hmm.
however long it takes, I tell people all the time, is an entrepreneur, an entrepreteur, whatever you call yourself.
You love that, don't you?
Yeah, 10 years. I'm practicing it more and more so I don't forget it.
Yeah.
But, you know, it may take you 10 years to get to 25%, and then it's only going to take you 5 years to get to 50%. But then you're only 2.5 years from 100, and a year and 7 days from 200% of the way there. When I watch your career, that's kind of the way I see it. It's like, yeah, it may have taken you 10 years to figure that out since the accident. But then you accelerated and keep accelerating. And now that I meet you in person with like this huge light that you are.
Thanks.
And you
well,
see
there's
yourself,
a light on me too. I can't
yeah,
see
no, no, but yeah. you are. I see this a glaring light of you. How now you're on the internet and you start inspiring people.
Yeah.
But you have this comedy side of you as well.
Hell yeah. yeah.
How, like how do you
I'm
intertwine
a
that? Yeah.
It's true. It's just what
you got
I
him
am.
Cracking up over there.
Good. I'll give you $2 after the show. Good shot. How, sorry, I don't even hear your question.
Yeah. The comedy side. Because did you use comedy to heal yourself? Or
I was already a comedian.
Before you got hurt?
Yeah, before I got hurt. I was hosting
giant tours. But did you use any of that
tours.
Through the process to get through?
Hell yeah. It got dark at times.
Yeah.
And it was actually me going back to being a comedian that made myself feel better. So when I first started doing YouTube videos, I was recruited by YouTube to be a YouTuber. Didn't know what the hell that was. I had no idea. I said that to them. I'm like, I don't know what that is. Yeah. They flew me down to YouTube headquarters. They showed me and they wanted me to be this like cheesy makeup tutorial. They literally said to me, we already have a brown girl being a comedian. So if you do makeup tutorials, then we have a different category for you. And I was just like,
wow,
we'll revisit that later. Yeah. So I started doing these cheesy things and I'm like, that's not me. The second that I flip back to telling the truth, which has always been my brand of comedy, that's what healed me. That's what got me better, was letting go of all the like the emotional shit too and being really fucking real all the time. That's what resonated with audiences. That's what hit me with like, I think I'm at over 80 viral videos now.
Yeah.
That's what hits, is awesome. Being honest in my comedy and honest with myself. People want honesty. We actually crave it.
It's amazing. Like I think being kind of the middle-aged guy of the internet and what I, and even YouTube has taken me in as a VIP on this side, because most people my age use YouTube to fix your outlets.
Yep.
Right? It's an instructional thing. So to be someone that inspires and motivates and cries and like shows himself as vulnerable, which I think is invulnerable.
Right?
You
is.
Can't pick on me when I tell you the truth because it's just the truth.
It's just the truth.
But I have to ask you, because I love comedy.
Yeah.
If it's one of those things like being a professional football player,
okay.
that if I was bright enough, because I think the most hyper-intelligent people that I've met and I've been blessed to be around them are comedians, and I'm just almost there but not quite there. I always like to ask, though, what's your favorite joke?
Of mine or somebody
of
else's?
Of yours.
My
like,
favorite joke.
What joke just rocks it for you?
My favorite joke of mine, it's so simple, and it was one of the first jokes I ever wrote. It's two blondes walk into a bar, and we don't pay for a drink all night, bitch. That's the real joke. I think there's my life.
See,
you know what I mean?
We are so similar. You know what my favorite joke is?
Go on.
It's just up that alley, but not quite. Mine is really simple because I like a joke that you can tell everybody.
Yeah.
Horse walks into a bar.
Yeah.
Bartender says, why the long face?
Oh, my gosh. Flip table, dad jokes.
Bam.
No, that was great. Joke. I loved it.
But there's many others I tell.
It was really, really good.
Favorite part of comedy, though. So Robin Williams was a friend and a big inspiration, right?
Oh, my gosh.
And there's this pain of comedians, though. And you kind of reversed the career. You had, like, all your pain.
Yeah.
Like, usually comedians, like, work through all this. And then they're so successful, but they're hiding all this pain.
Yeah.
Inside. You've already gone through that side. What
it's kind of weird hanging out with comics now.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, no, but I'm actually really happy.
Right. You're like, kind of a creepy comedian being so happy. Everyone's around going,
no,
outside
they do.
Going like this, right? Fuck, what's the matter with that Nicole?
They're like,
girl?
She must
she's
be
like,
a psycho.
She's like super happy.
No,
she's
like,
driving crazy.
She must be like real crazy because she acts like she's happy all the time. I'm like, right. No, motherfucker, some of us are.
Exactly. Like, and they're probably like, I want to get some of the shit that she's on because honestly, that stuff must be really good.
But I almost don't want to help them too much. Like sometimes they'll come to me with their problems and I'm like, I don't want to break your comedy.
Yeah. You ruin their career.
Pain, yeah, I don't want to wreck their career. Do your thing, man. Like, I seriously have that issue.
Who
like,
are some of your favorite comedians?
George Carlin of all time.
Oh.
Yes. He is, like, the shit. I walked around with the book Brain Droppings as a little kid, and which is weird for a small kid white girl from suburbs. So yeah, but I walk around with brain droppings. Loved it. Obviously, Robin Williams. The day he passed away, that hit hard.
It still hits me hard. That, I used to use it about teaching people happiness, how you can think of someone in one way that has made everybody happy, been successful in every part of his career, from actor, comedian, like every part. Like he was so successful, and he was in pain to the point that nobody knew.
See, I have a theory on him, and he actually, him passing changed my perspective on life and happiness, because I think he was done. I just think he achieved everything he was supposed to achieve and was bored. And that's it.
Could that be said about Kobe?
I do.
In the universe?
Yeah, I do.
I see it a lot of times with people. And and I'm okay with that, because I have reverse engineered my life and asked myself a critical question as I got older, saying, do you believe in, you know, past lives and in future lives? Yeah. And I said to myself, what's the options? No or yes? Yes seems to be more positive than no. So I'm going with yes. So I'm going to live my life like I get to live again.
Yeah, it doesn't mean I'm going to stop sprinting. I'm going to sprint harder. But yeah, I don't want to get to the end of this. And I thought about that, about suicide, because I was at that point of committing suicide just from the physical pain. And thinking I'm not going to get better. And I'm like, I would be so pissed off if I got to heaven and they were like, oh man, if you went like a couple more weeks, it was coming. I would just be pissed off. I'd be so mad.
That's so weird, because I had another interview this morning and it was more for the charitable, I don't know the word you would use, but she's a philanthropist, entrepreneur, philanthropist. Anyway, but I'm the chairman of the foundation.
She's just like Shakira.
Yeah. How cool was that? But moreover, she said that they do this miracle thing because there was a girl who wanted to be a nurse, and her parents, oddly enough, back then, the parents weren't encouraging you to go to college or high school because they wanted to marry you off to a rich guy for a goat or a cow.
You're a dowry.
Yeah, exactly. Sure. And these parents weren't. And she ends up graduating high school, doing really well, going to go to nursing school, and her dad passes. So she spends 6 years fetching water, you know, the whole bit in Kenya. And she's sitting, going to commit suicide, looking at the river, and she's going to jump in with the snakes and the hippos and the rhino, you know, and kill herself.
Damn.
And in her head, she said, well, what if in like 2 weeks a miracle would happen? And what if my mom would say, like, who's going to help? And like the same exact thing, what if in 2 weeks? And guess what, though? For her, 2 weeks later, because of this charity, they had a nursing school open and gave her a scholarship. And it's freaky that you're like,
I love
what
it.
If in 2 weeks and here you are?
It. Yeah. Anybody who's listening to this who might be contemplating suicide, I feel you. I get you. Yeah. Your feelings are valid, but I think there's something on the other side of it. And anybody who's had that in their life and had someone do that, don't take that pain on you. Use that as something to help fulfill their legacy.
How do you embrace? Like, I'm born into being able to embrace pain.
Yeah.
Physical, mental, emotional pain. I'm like a mule. Mm-hmm. It's just quantum in my being.
Same.
Right? And so I have difficulty because I want to help everyone. Yeah. I have that in me as well.
It gets me in trouble.
Yeah. Like some people just don't like it. You know, and I literally want to learn.
Do you mean you or the pain?
Both.
Okay. Fair.
Yeah, My wife doesn't like me or the pain. she likes
me now.
We'll
talk about that later.
It's amazing.
It's fine. But
I want to help people. Like you said, if you're sitting there anxious, depressed, or even suicidal.
Yeah.
And maybe you don't have Rocky in your quantum or Denzel in your quantum memory.
Yeah.
You know, how can we activate that quantum memory to give somebody hope that maybe something will happen in 2 weeks? Or do you think, you know what, maybe just go on to the next life. This one sucks for you.
I think, and I could be wrong, but I'm not. I'm not often.
we're a perfect couple. I'm always wrong, and you're always right.
Amazing. We're a couple of somethings.
At least we're consistent.
Yeah, we're consistent. No, I feel like I'm pretty good at this. I don't think the universe misses that often. I think that if something is I'm not talking about people in Kenya who might be listening to this and you don't have food. That fucking sucks. And I'm pretty sure on the next turn around this, you're going to win bigger. We're very lucky that we've won the genetic lottery by being born where we've been born. There's way more going for us than against us at any given moment. And that includes chronic physical pain and the advancements that have been made in depression, anxiety, physical pain. Even the last 10 years, I jumped in to be part of studies because I was like, what's going on in my body? What the fuck is this? you can get better. You can get a lot of relief and you can live a different kind of cool life. And you get to help the people coming behind you in the same predicament. So your life will have meaning no matter what. It only stops having meaning if you're not here for the people who love you. That, of course, we'll all love you if you're gone. But you know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah, that's awesome.
I really think that everybody can push through it now. And I do know that a lot of stuff does come down to gut health now, which is crazy to learn after the fact. I took a couple prescription drugs prescribed that were in a row, and suddenly I was allergic to gluten, dairy, soy. And I was suffering on top with that, with celiac disease. Had no idea. Whoa. It came from those pills. And a couple times you can adjust some foods and fix some natural things in your body as well. I was super alkaline. I still am.
Yeah.
And it'll change your mind. It'll change brain fog. It'll change physical pain. All of my swelling went down for the first time in 7 years when I went alkaline. No doctor told me that. Read it myself.
Yeah. It is amazing. And you know, I combine East and West all the time. Mm-hmm. And I lean to the East a lot. I meditate every morning.
Same.
Change my life. I've been with real healers,
nice.
You know, like true healers. And but there's still a human side to things.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, really interesting to balance that. What effect does meditation, you know, for someone that's like me, manic and hyper and super high frequency.
I like it.
It's hard for people to say, like, how's Nicole and David like sit there and meditate? These guys are just crazy.
How do you not?
Right, exactly.
That's another thing is head injury was really hard for me to overcome because I had two. I've 4 concussions, but 2 major head
You're
injuries.
You're like an NFL quarterback.
That's I really perfect. Am, though. Yeah, just with that specific paycheck. I got the cheerleader paycheck with that one.
Right.
Which is like
$75 a week.
Yeah, thanks for showing up, girls. Girl power.
Here's lunch.
Yeah, don't look at the players. So this is it's a true thing. It's a.
See, there's the comedy.
Well, we can get into that shit. I got a rant on that. So with the meditation, at the top head injury clinic that actually treats all the NFL guys and NHL guys, they snuck me in only because of what I do for a living. They're like, you need your brain. I'm like, yeah, please.
Yeah, please.
And again, super antioxidants. And meditation was prescribed to me twice a day. I had to figure out how to do it. And now I love it. It's like a physical nap for me. And with all the chaos and all the different projects and all the things going down, maybe even physical pain, I stop and I have my 45 minutes to my hour. And then I'm like, oh, there's all the answers. All of them just came to me. And that person I was mad at, not even mad at them anymore. I see where they're coming from. It's like you're getting a download, so why wouldn't you stop and do it?
Well, when we're done, I'll show you around that corner. I have a huge calligraphy that I trace every day to get my downloads from
really?
Master and Dr. Shaw, who is cool. Canadian and Chinese. But yeah, it's incredible change in my life.
I got excited because I'm like, oh, he has a hack. He has a brain hack.
Oh, yeah.
A download hack.
Yeah. And
give
you
me
can take
all.
A picture of it and use it.
Cool.
So if you believe in it, I always say about weird things that we do. People ask me, like, why do you wear bracelets? Why do you trace calligraphies? I always say, look, it's real simple to me. One, what's the risk?
Yeah.
So if it's high risk, don't do it.
Right.
You know, I always use the Aztecs.
Like, those don't go with every outfit, so it could be a risk.
There you go. Yeah. That's your risk, not my own. I never
risk
match.
Risk.
I got this black here. But moreover, too, does it work for you? Right?
What?
Like, I tell people all the time, does it work?
You missed it.
Yeah.
That's fine.
So, whatever she said, shit.
No, it was great.
Good one-liner. Just watch it. I don't need to know it. But I was saying, the second part is, does it work for you? So,
yeah.
Like, wearing bracelets, even though they don't match, does it work for you?
I'm jealous because I forgot to put mine on after the shower and I'm sitting here feeling
naked. Your
nails
are beautiful, by the way.
Thank you.
Wow.
A nice Korean lady did that. I couldn't do it.
I wish I had that. Anyways.
That's me with my rings, though.
The next question. Yeah. Is the next question. What's
great.
What's next for someone like you? You obviously are on the precipice of all these things. I saw you did like cool stuff with Gary and Jesse, which is
tons
in Vegas,
cool stuff.
Right?
Yeah.
You're all over the place. All my friends are playing with you. Had to have you in here. But I want to know, someone like you, you're so young, so talented. There's
Thanks.
So many different opportunities.
Yep.
Picking the right ones are hard for me at 52.
Mm-hmm.
I was wondering, you know, with so much in front of you,
yeah.
How are you deciding what to do next?
Well, deciding is kind of easy because I have my 90-day runs, and Danelle Delgado is one of my best friends, and she's a business master, and so I treat my life that way. So we do 90-day runs. I have every single day mapped out for the next 90 days, and I know exactly what 5 goals I'm going to hit and exactly how I'm going to do that with a work-back schedule. I do not deviate. I'm out of time. I spent 10 years in bed. So I sprint real hard with those. So I know the next 90 days, you guys are going to see my podcast will chart instantly. There is no option. The Arbor Effect is coming out. I'm so excited about it. We're talking real shit. We're going to trigger everybody, and it's going to be for everybody.
You better have me on there. I want to go on the Arbor Effect.
Heck yeah. We're going to get into
everything.
I'll drive
5 hours to see you.
But that you'll have to circle because it's not that far. But yeah, exactly. I appreciate it.
You never know. It's LA traffic.
True. Just stay zen.
That's so awesome. No, so when does it launch?
Any day now. So, well, I don't know when this airs.
Yeah. Well, we'll make sure it airs when you want it to air, because you are high priority. So we'll make sure the Arbor Effect is coordinated with that.
And we're getting into all the real shit on that show. So I'm super excited. Yeah. So there's Arbor Effect. There is some Vegas shows, which are cool. I wrote some things before I got injured that both Cirque and Giant Casinos in Vegas wanted to buy from me, but I had to stage them because I've choreographed award shows and big giant productions. Wow. That's in there too. Go Team Academy is killing it. So now we're going to expand that. And I'm so excited about that. And there's some feature films that have come my way, which are very exciting.
Nice.
And writing a feature of mine because, I was doing other people's and there are some cool projects coming, but I wrote one and all these feature film people went crazy. So that's a good thing.
You're like so amazing because like the most common question people ask me is like, how are you doing like all of the same stuff, right? Podcasts, TV shows, movies, all the things that I'm blessed to be in and going to Super Bowls.
Hashtag
and all
blessed.
That.
You have to say it right.
Hashtag blessed.
Yeah.
For the old man. I don't even know what that means.
I just want that as a meme separate. You have to.
Like
content
John Lovitz.
People pull that shit
John
out.
Lovitz. Hashtag. Yeah.
You guys have to have him doing that.
It's so good. But I teach that productivity, accessibility, the gratitude side, this lens that I believe
gratitude.
Efficiency, effectiveness, and statistical success.
Mm-hmm.
People who vibrate faster, who have a higher frequency, can bend time.
Yeah.
And your perspective does that. And it drives me nuts. Like when
I just
people
pictured
are like,
myself as like a Pokemon.
I can't come to work because I have mail and my laundry to do. And I meet these people. Like, how do you get so much done? I have mail to do today. I got bills to pay. Can I take a half a day?
Those ones exhaust me.
Yeah.
Thinking about them going so slow.
With me. Yeah. What advice would you give, though, as an entrepreneur and an entrepreneur to so many people out there that want to be able to grasp life, to really do what we do, right? There's just activity you get paid for, activity you don't, and the world is your oyster. What advice do you give?
This is me getting ready to bend your question as we bend
please.
Time, because I have a secondary part for that for you. On the entrepreneur side, a lot of people don't know I work with a ton of brands, and I have for years. Everyone from Nike and Virgin Mobile to startups to events to entertainers that were blowing them up. Frankly, most of my techniques I haven't even used on myself yet. So now it's time.
Nice.
It's very exciting. And the thing,
hashtag it's time.
Hashtag it's time. Okay. That hurt my soul making that voice. I sound like LA.
Better than
that was the coronavirus.
Voice. It's better than the Denzel voice.
Thanks. That was real bad. I'm parched. I like your insult. It's good.
Thanks.
So here's what I really like to say to people. You're full of shit. Your number one issue isn't time. It's that you're full of shit. You're dating someone you don't want to date. You're working jobs and projects you don't want to work. You will make time for shit that matters to you. You're working on your niche because you only have a niche audience. That means small. Stop being a little bitch. Expand or go away because I'm busy and there's people that are going to run you over. Like, this is just how I feel now because
I love that.
You know, and
but I don't believe
really
in busy. I don't believe in busy. I think busy people are inaccessible. You're totally
busy.
Accessible. You're an active person.
Yeah.
Right? There's activity you get paid for, activity you don't, and you're as active as possible.
Heck yeah.
To be as productive as possible, accessible as possible, and gracious as possible. I totally nailed that one. And I'm getting the clue over there that, Dave, this thing's going way too long. I told you would.
But you had a story to tell me.
I have a story to tell you. That was the one about Rocky.
Oh, the Rocky one?
The
oh,
Rocky
I thought there
one.
Was another one. You can
I
tell
have
me
plenty
off
of other
camera.
Stories.
Fine.
Well, no, I'll tell you when I come on. Your incredible podcast
hey,
coming out, The Arbor Effect.
The Arbor Effect.
And last question, though,
go
too,
team.
As we go, hashtag. I always like to ask, for me, someone that's young, what advice, I mean, you actually have told me you followed me and you watch. And so I have to take advantage of the fact that I would love your advice on when you're looking at stuff from me and seeing from your perspective, someone, you know, seriously successful.
Yeah.
I'm like really good at what you do, right? I grew up in a traditional sense. I have a law degree. I built really big businesses traditionally. Mm-hmm. And I feel so literally hashtag blessed that I'm even have
yes,
people that watch me
that.
Every day.
Yep.
But I'm really dying for your advice. What advice would you give me just kind of looking at it?
Yep.
Just one piece of advice to make my stuff better, help more people or make me more popular.
You're going to hate what I'm about to say.
I love it.
Care.
Truth is best.
You're cooler in person than you are online.
That's what Gary said. Damn it.
Yeah. You're like, you're way cooler in person. Like, I want to hang out.
They make
with
me
you.
Look too dorky.
Yeah. Well, you did it yourself.
Yeah. Thank you.
They I'm just captured it. I'm just kidding.
That's
that
so
just
good.
Means that you've been putting on a bit of an act when you go on camera. And it does take time to get used to it and just be full you.
Yeah.
But just like even your vibe in person is way cooler. And
can I go full fat Jew?
Oh,
like,
please.
Like, that guy's awesome.
I'd prefer you did.
Yeah.
Yeah. The world, just skew it a little bit. You're like medium sized Jew.
Yeah.
Totally.
Spiritual, funky, Judah Buddha type of weird thing.
Do it. Why
all right.
not?
When Dave Meltzer changes this next week, you're going to know why. Because this advice right here. Check out the Arbor
Go
Effect. Check out my favorite ever, the first ever entrepreneur. And I got it right again. It's Dave Meltzer with Nicole Arbor here on Entrepreneurs, The Playbook.
Go team.
Well, I hope you enjoyed this week's episode of The Playbook as much as me. On a personal note, I just wanted to thank everyone for making The Playbook such a success. Don't forget to continue it by sharing, subscribing, and listening to your favorite episodes. This is Dave Meltzer with The Playbook.